Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and today is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. So if you're hearing my voice live on Wednesday morning about 9 a.m., the likelihood is that it is a live broadcast. So come on over to FirstAmendmentRadio.com or .net. And click on the chat button there and join us. Let me check and see if we got anybody in chat. Well, we got a few people. I just sent out notifications during the news, so hopefully more people will pile in the chat room presently. Okay, what are we going to talk about today? Let me see what I have here. Revelation 13 and 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666. And that's from Revelation chapter 13, 15 through 18. And we are going to spend probably the second hour talking more about the mark of the beast than anything. But the revelation always piques our interest in prophecy. So it's a good way to start out the broadcast with a little scripture reading there. Happy New Year. I was listening to the broadcast before this one, Inquisition Update with Tom Fress. And he's going through Martin Luther's writings on the churches and the councils or something like that, I believe. Martin Luther, of course, came out of error, but on your way out of error, well, you don't seem to shed it all immediately. It does take time to shed error, especially when you're seeped in it up to your eyebrows, so to speak. And so we have to have a little understanding because, well, unlike maybe you or someone else, I have walked in error in my past. And I believe we all have in reality, when we come to Christ, then His Holy Spirit works on us through that process of repentance, and usually we get around to shedding error after error after error. It's kind of a lifelong process, but hopefully when you get to my age that you have most of your errors behind you, hopefully. I feel sorry for people, kinda, that start out later in life. I felt like I kinda started out late because it wasn't until I was 19 that I started reading God's Word. And, so I think it's a good idea for young men as, say 12, 13 to start reading God's Word and allow His Word to change your life. Nothing but good can come of it. Okay, and speaking of changes, Tom seemed to intimate that there were people at First Amendment Radio that wouldn't agree with him. Well, you know, I agree with him, you know, like 99% about Easter and Christmas. I don't celebrate those Roman holidays because, one, you know, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't keep Mass of any kind, and that includes Christmas. Now, I do like giving gifts to my friends, but it doesn't have to be on the fake Jesus birthday, December 25th. There's nothing in the scripture to authorize it or to state that it is a Christian holiday. I believe that it is a pagan holiday that has been Christianized by the Antichrist, to draw people in. And, of course, Martin Luther's talking about Easter as if it was he was mixing it up and equating it, I think, to Passover, is what he was doing, because he was speaking of Easter as it was established by Moses. Well, I don't keep Easter either. I don't really celebrate the Passover either, to tell you the truth. I don't, you know, kill an animal, and, you know, on the 14th of the first month of the year, of the Hebrew year, according to the calendar that God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. And speaking of the calendar he gave them, we have the world is going to celebrate, the Roman world is going to celebrate New Year. Of course, they're going to celebrate the Roman New Year. I did a little search. You could, you know, this is pretty easy for you to do if you've got internet at all. It's like you can search who changed the New Year to January. And well, I guess we could put that on the desktop here. And this is just a Google search, so you can check it out. This was probably 1 May before 2222 BC, 15, and I don't know what, January 153 BC and 45 BC, it says, when Julius Caesar's new Julian calendar took effect, the Senate fixed 1 January as the first day of the year. So this is a Roman invention. And since, according to prophecy, Rome still rules the world and will rule the world until Christ returns. You don't believe me? Well, read Daniel chapter 2, and you can read about the, some people call it the metal man image. I call it the mystery Babylon image, because Babylon is the head of gold of the image. And in this image is depicted all of the kingdoms of the world, the four great kingdoms of the world, starting with Babylon, going to the Roman Empire, which is the last empire to be destroyed before the fifth and final kingdom, for the eras that we, the seven millennial eras that we are living in now. Of course, the seventh millennium will be the millennial reign of Christ. Bodily, he will come to the earth. And I know that many Reformed thinkers go along with Catholicism, thinking somehow that Reformed Christianity is going to overtake the world and establish it for Christ by the end of the millennium. So they're amillennialists or postmillennialists, and Christ will return. Of course, that's what the Catholics believe, but they believe that we're already in the millennium, and the Pope is ruling the world, and they would be right about one thing. The Antichrist does rule the world now. The deadly wound has been healed, and the form of government depicted by the mystery Babylon image of Daniel chapter 2 is fully in control of the world, because we're down in the feet and 10 toes of iron mingled with clay, portion of that image. And that is the place, the timeline starts with the head, which is Babylon, and it goes down in time as you progress from the past into the future. The feet are the future. And then finally, the stone created without hands strikes the image of the feet, becomes a great mountain, and fills the whole earth. This is when Christ returns, and all of the governments of men, of all of the governments of the mystery Babylon image, are abolished, done away with forever, so that no place is found for them. And his kingdom covers the whole earth, and we have the millennial reign of Christ. So looking forward to that. Now, we have New Year's coming up, and like I said, it's the Roman New Year's, and I don't celebrate it. The world celebrates it. I don't care. You know, I don't look down on people who do Christmas. I mean, I've had some hosts on First Amendment radio that are still walking in that kind of thing, and, you know, saying, oh, it's okay to say Merry Christmas and all that nonsense, really. You know, I think it's okay to say, things about Jesus, but I'm not sure about the mass part of it, because that's, you know, a little too Catholic for me. And like I said, I don't celebrate mass, Christmas or otherwise, because I am not Catholic. Okay. So the new year, the biblical new year starts in the spring with Abib. And that's what the calendar that God gave Israel in the wilderness. He said, this shall be the beginning of months for you. And that's the month that they have Passover in. Speaking of celebrating Passover instead of Easter. Now, if I were to celebrate these feast days that we're going to celebrate in the millennial reign of Christ when Christ returns, well, I would be celebrating them alone now, because we live in a Roman world. You know, I mean, we're in the world that we are in and not of. As the scripture says, we are in the world, but not of it. The world that we are in is the Roman world. That is the world view, the world governing authority that will be abolished upon Christ's return. Now, this Roman world has its own calendar and all of business, and we all have to interact with the world, so we have to do with this calendar. Inasmuch as even Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at the beginning of this era of the Mystery Babylon image, were captives, taken captive to Babylon and made to serve in Babylon. And they showed us where the line was drawn. And, you know, I could celebrate many things. I could probably celebrate New Year, and I believe that a lot of people do celebrate even Easter and Christmas, as much as it makes me cringe, without any fault, because the question is, like, where I draw the line is, if the Roman world, by their law, requires me to violate the law of God, then I cannot do it. That's where the line is drawn. That's the demonstration that we have from Scripture itself, with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their dealings. And I believe, well, they're not the only ones, but they drew a line. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king ordered them, ordered everyone in his kingdom to bow down and worship the image that he had created, well, they refused, even to the point of death. They would not violate the law of God under coercion or by any means whatsoever, not even at the point of a gun or the fiery furnace. So that is where we, as God's people, as his Israel on earth, his elect, must draw the line. We cannot go beyond that. Now, for those of us in the land of the free here, we're not required to participate in many things. And many people participate in things through ignorance or tradition, because their parents did it, because that's what they learned, even in their church, like Christmas and Easter. So many people do things in ignorance. Now, I believe that God, who judges the hearts and the intents of the heart, will overlook a lot of ignorance. As the scripture says, he winks at ignorance in certain circumstances. So you shouldn't listen to this broadcast if you want to continue in your ignorance, but I mean, who wants to continue in their ignorance? Because as they say, ignorance is bliss. But here's the problem with ignorance. Though you're ignorant, there is a price to pay for ignorance. Yeah. And well, there's a price to pay for knowing the truth. And that is having to live by that truth and go through that process of repentance and crucifying the deeds of the flesh. There are many things about American Christians and American Christianity and in evangelical and other churches, or so-called non-Catholic churches, that are very ecumenical, very Catholic, that are very much against God's law. Like, well, socialism. If you participate in socialism, you have violated God's law. That's right. If you collect socialist security, send your children to public school. And, you know, I would go even as far as to say, if you profit by the school system, say from getting a paycheck for being a public school teacher, you're participating in a system that is inherently evil and that is funded on the theft of from your neighbor. Sorry to say it, you know, and I know that's going to offend a lot of teachers, because teachers are almost revered as gods in America, above everybody else, when all it is a profession. I think all the Christian teachers out there and all the Christian administrators in the public school system, they should separate. They should go to their local churches and they should say, we want to start a Christian school. We are teachers and administrators, and we want this public, we want this Christian school to be totally free for Christians. Okay? To be totally supported by the churches in the community, and to be 100% free to Christian children, so that we can raise up our community in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that's a pet peeve of mine. And if Christians got together and did this in their communities, and they had their own schools, well, then they could petition the government to have the tax removed, the property tax done away with for public schools. Because, you know, I'm also against property tax. Property taxes are ungodly. They're against God's law. They threaten a man in his own home. They are coerced labor and a form of slavery. Especially if you have to pay for things that violate your conscience, as do the public schools and the funding of abortions and many other more despicable things. These violate the conscience of men who are forced to pay this under threat of being thrown out into the street or losing their livelihood. So there are many ways that American Christians violate the laws of God by participation in things Roman, in things secular. But God has called us to come out and to separate ourselves from the world, but individually ourselves, because we can only do our individual self. And to, and you know, I hate to admit it, and I hate to say it's true, and it's very uncomfortable to be in my community or in the so-called Christian community and be an outcast, a remnant, a cast-off, even from the church at large, because I don't participate in socialism. And I don't participate, although I am forced, because I want to live on my land. I am forced to fund things at the point of a gun, basically, because that's what force is. It's the threat of violence, the threat of the loss of life, liberty, and property. And these are very un-American things. These are things that are even antithetical to the very founding principles of this nation and the Bill of Rights and even the Constitution. Although I would hold the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights above the Constitution. The Constitution was a secondary document. I believe that it was somewhat of a con. The only reason I believe that the Constitution was introduced and pushed by certain people, and if you read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, well, he points to the Jesuits as the causative effect behind the Constitution, and that was in order to concentrate the power of the nation in a 10-mile square area that was controlled by Jesuits or the Great Whore Church that is that has its head, and its head is called the Antichrist, the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Father. Many titles are given to this man. The False Prophet. And so it was a sad thing, and it worked. And the Antichrist and his minions, and especially his Jesuits, are very patient. They've worked their thing stealthily, in plain sight, to take over America, a Protestant nation founded upon Protestant principles, and to overthrow it. But as I said, it's still the land of the free. I am not required to participate in socialism. So I do not. Even though probably 98% or probably up to somewhere between 98 and I'm just guessing here that most Christians are polluted with socialism because they're card-carrying socialists. You ask them, what's your socialist security number? And they just, you know, the string of numbers just pours out of their mouth. And I guess that's what we're going to talk a little bit more about in the second hour. It's called the Mark of the Beast. And of course, the Mark of the Beast is an identification that is given by government. And not all identification given by government is a bad thing. But when it lines up with what we have in Revelation chapter 13, that it is required in order to participate in a monetary system that is primarily Satan's monetary system and founded upon a fiat or unjust weight and balance and usury monetary system, two things which God says he hates that are an abomination, well, then I think we have a problem. And the whole world has a problem because Satan's monetary system founded upon usury and a changeable currency, which is the greatest theft of all. I mean, how people could have ever fallen for it, I don't know, but Satan is a very tricky devil, and he's worked, transgenerational on this project of getting this fiat usury monetary system to envelop all the nations of the planet, of planet Earth. And so here we are today. We are on the brink of the Roman year 2018 and perhaps the introduction. This is the date they have set for the introduction of a one world monetary system. Okay, you're listening Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we'll continue talking about these things, your comments and calls, maybe, in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And reality is what we have to deal with, so we need to get it right. Let's see. Cortina in the chat room says, why does Nicholas pay his taxes then if it is unconstitutional? Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, it was render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. But that's a whole nother conversation. Why do I pay taxes? Well, why do you pay taxes? Because if I don't pay taxes on the land, then they will come with guns. It's robbery. I'm being robbed. You know, if someone holds you up and robs you, you know, you haven't violated the law by being robbed. So it's not like I'm doing something wrong by being robbed. I have no choice because they will come with guns and escort me to the street. And you know what? If I live on the street, then I won't have to pay property tax. Okay? You see how that works? So I'm not doing it voluntarily. I don't want to do it. But like I said, they have more guns than I do and I can't fight them. So that's not a battle I can win. So I allow them to rob me at the point of a gun, because it's the threat of violence and the threat of the loss of my life, limb, and property. Now, everyone who pays rent or owns property is going to pay property taxes in the land of the unfree. That's one thing I haven't signed up for that I'm going to pay. So whether if you pay rent somewhere, you're going to pay property tax, because the landowner is going to take that money of yours, and he's going to put it on the property tax. Let's see, what else we got here? WW states, he says, the Articles of Confederation were sufficient for America, and I say amen. They should have been sufficient for America. The Constitution is all pretty much communism. Well, not really all pretty much communism, but it had some clauses that they thought they could use to bring the Antichrist communism in. And it worked too. I mean, it was all a ploy. It was all a deceit and a very slick deception, a vehicle by which they could concentrate power. You know, I was thinking about, like, it's like the UN. We're going to talk a little bit about the image of the beast was in our revelation reference there. The image of the beast, I'm convinced, is the United Nations, because it is created by the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, which I believe is America. And so this image of the beast is, of course, a ruling authority that governs over the entire world, as did the Roman Empire, because the second beast creates an image to the first beast, which was the Roman Empire, of Daniel 2's image, the fourth portion of the image, the iron legs and feet and 10 toes mingled with iron, with clay. That's the portion, the last portion. So the image of the beast has to be a governing authority. It has to be a government type. And the only thing that really fits is the United Nations. Okay, so the second beast, that is America, creates this image. Anyway, the income tax is unconstitutional, and people have allowed these things to come in stealthily, and now what can you do? You know, you have to pay it. Okay, actually not everyone pays those property taxes in USA, says WW. Well, yeah, homeless people, I guess, don't pay it. That's probably true. And, you know, this is something that we're really is not going to change. I don't see it changing before Christ returns. When he returns, this image, Mystery Babylon image, will be obliterated. So we just have to do the best we can. Now, I'm out as far as I can get without becoming homeless, of course. I do live on property, even though I don't own it in my name. It's not owned by me. I do have to pay property taxes as part of, you know, staying here and paying expenses to live where I'm at, as everyone else does who pays any type of rent or owns property. So I'm out as far as I can. I don't participate in socialism. I don't pay into or collect Social Security, even though when do you start collecting Social Security? I think it's at 64, so I qualify there or something. Or was it 60 or 62? I don't know. Never checked it out. Didn't care. Didn't want to apply for it. And I will not. If I have to work, because I'm not a rich man and I don't have millions of dollars or even $100,000 in a bank account somewhere or $10,000 in a bank account somewhere, so I'm going to have to keep working in God's kingdom because that's my choice of a place to work. And, of course, as long as the Almighty is willing, I will keep working in his kingdom. And when he's not willing, well, I guess that's when they'll put my body in the grave, okay? Cortina says, property taxes pay for the police and street lighting and refuse collection. Well, where I live, I pay for my own refuse collection, okay? And I pay for my own water and sewage, because I live in the county. I chose to live in the county area because there's less government over me. I don't live in a city. And city, I guess, they give you a bill for those things if they take over those services. Now, here's the whole thing. Property taxes, someone should not live under the threat of losing their home, okay, because they can't pay property taxes. These services should be paid by other means, by excise taxes or whatever. Whatever causes more crime to come, that's what should be taxed. Okay, silly. So like cities should have police, and anyone who lives in a city, they agree to that more government. When you move to a city and you buy a place in the city, you have agreed to another layer of government, and you should be taxed by that city for police services. Now, as far as the sheriff and all that, for the county areas or outlying, rural areas where you don't have a concentration of people, that should not be paid for by property taxes, but it should be, of course, paid out of the county budget through whatever county taxes they have, excise taxes, business taxes, whatever ways counties had to pay those things before there was property taxes. So you have to go back 100 years or maybe even 150 years in some localities before there was property taxes, because property taxes have not been with America since the beginning. Okay? Not until you got into the cities. But now that they got it, they're never going to let go of it. I would like to see a move because public schools are so antithetical to Christian values, Christian communities and cities and states and or counties should get together and form their own schools. And instead of all of the churches having all of these huge budgets and big buildings and fancy and all this and salaries and stuff, or sending money overseas to whatever they're supporting, they should now come together and let their mission field be in their own community with a Christian school system, okay, that would be free to Christians and, well, to others that would want to pay. I mean, they could even offer for those who can pay to pay, for those that can't offer, then that's where the charity would come in to pay for those schools. When it was turned over to the Roman government's out here, well, that's when the mistake was made. And then they attach it to the property taxes. Like, you know, I'm a homeschooling father. I'm a homeschooling grandfather. Why am I paying for public schools? Why are all these retired people out here? Most of the property taxes go to pay for public schools. If it was just for police services in the rural communities, in the non-city communities, if it was just for the police and bare minimal services that a county should provide, not welfare and all that stuff, no, that should all be charity. See, if it was just for that, there would be no threat of someone losing their property. And now under the law of God, the law that God gave Israel when they moved into the land, the property belonged to the family forever. And that's his heirs and assigns forever. That's what land patents in the United States, how they were issued to whoever got that land patent over that land. It was to his heirs and assigns forever. But slowly when people sold property, they allowed other things to come into those transactions. I mean, there may be, and there probably still is, patent land out there that's never entered into the property tax system as of even this day. At least that's what I have heard, that there is still patented land property that has never been resold, that has remained in those families and never compromised to this very day. So if you have street lighting, you don't need in rural areas. Okay? The cities need street lighting. Like I said, when you move to a city, you covenant with the people in that city for those extra services. And you agree that your property is now surety that you will pay your share for those services. See, that's city life. That's what a city is. It's where people covenant together. Okay, and so if you move to a city, you join the covenant. But if you live in a rural area, you should not be obliged to a covenant. Where can you go that you can be free in the land of the free today? Well, I'm as free as I can find in the land today. I've chosen an area with the lowest property taxes in the nation. I can't find any lower anywhere else. The property tax here is slightly over 1%. Yeah, slightly over 1%. What the value of the property was at the time that you purchased your property, and they are limited by law here to not raising your property tax value more than 1% per year. And that even adds up after years. But a lot of places in the nation are not limited. They do current values on properties and they tax the values by the current value. Whereas if I had to do that, my property tax would be like 3 times what it is from when I purchased the property, because the property is now, well, worth 3 or 4 times what it was when I purchased it. Okay, or when my family purchased it anyway. So, the only way that Christians could get out of it is if they start their own school systems. And it should become, we got 40 years before Christ comes, I would say. Let's get to it. You know, for all of you people that are, that you believe in the rapture, and see, I think that's one of the, reasons that the Antichrist through his Jesuit army, has developed this counter-reformation scheme of the end-time Antichrist, and especially the pre-tribulation rapture nonsense, because everybody thinks, oh, we could disappear at any time, so why should we do all this? Whereas if you're a true Reformation Protestant historicist, you know that that's all a lie, and that the return of Christ is not imminent. If you understand prophecy, you understand certain things are going to happen before Christ returns. And especially if you study in depth the scripture like we have done here on my website at crossborder.org, by What Year Is It? What Year Is It study there. Go to my website, crossborder.org, and in the left-hand column you'll see in the trending articles there, usually What Year Is It there. If it's not, just type What Year Is It in the search button on the upper right-hand side, and you'll find the article, and you'll find out we have about, you know, somewhat less than 40 years before the seventh millennium from the creation begins. So we have at least that much time. We have a whole generation that, you know, we could help to solidify on the North American continent. We could help to solidify it as a, you know, a bastion of Reformed gospel truth for the world, a bulwark against the complete reign of Antichrist over the whole world. I mean, still, I believe here on the North American continent is still the last, it's like the last stand for Protestantism, for Reformed Protestantism, for the true gospel message against the Antichrist. The Antichrist now has full sway. I mean, you look at what's going on in Europe. The churches are practically dead. Of course, there are some people, there is a remnant in Western Europe that is still alive, but they're very small. They're smaller than America. We have perhaps a larger remnant here in North America, and especially in the United States. We have perhaps a larger remnant, mostly call themselves evangelicals today. But even in that, I would be even a smaller minority, being still a Reformation, true Reformation Protestant historicist, and especially in eschatological thought, realizing that, yes, as the Reformer said, the Catholic Church is the great apostasy. I mean, 2 billion adherents is the major part of the Christian Church on earth to this apostate church. And the man of sin sitting in the seat of the papacy is the historic and the biblical and historical Antichrist of the scripture. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But most of the church has been deluded by this counter-reformation Jesuit nonsense that came out of the mouth of Ribera, that Jesuit priest who wrote his thesis on the end-time Antichrist, of course, with only one object in mind, and that was to vindicate the Antichrist or the papacy in the eyes of the Protestant world, saying, well, he can't be the Antichrist if the Antichrist is going to be some guy who's going to show up for the last 7 years. And you know, here's the whole thing of it, is the Catholics who developed this for Protestants, they don't believe it themselves, because they don't believe in a physical return of Christ for a millennial reign. However, they teach that before that millennial reign of physical return of Christ comes, there's going to be a 7-year period where the Antichrist is going to show up. So they've taught Protestants something they don't even believe in order to vindicate the papacy from being the seat of the Antichrist. And they've turned Protestants into evangelibellies, ecumenical evangelibellies, as Tom Fress would say, because they're not Reformed Protestants. And even amongst the so-called Reformed Church in America, they don't believe in the return, the physical bodily return of Christ, But what did they believe? Do they believe that somehow the Reformed thought is going to take over the world, kind of like the Catholics believe, but in practice is actually the truth, even though the papacy and its minions have stealthily taken over the world in plain sight for anyone who wants to really research into it. And I have some resources that can help you out with your research. I've got a couple books. If you were to go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you'll see I have plenty of books there. The Rapture will be canceled. And when the Third Temple is built, I wrote specifically for evangelicals who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. It's kind of a primer on historicist thought and what a true historicist would believe will happen when they build a Third Temple. So it's an alternate view, and everyone should allow their view to be challenged. Come on. And if for no reason but to show me where I'm wrong. That's right. Show me where I'm wrong, because I am very sincere in my beliefs. Okay? We also have History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter, going through the entire Revelation and placing it to history. We also have the Hori Apocalyptikae 2015, The Last Prophecy, which is an abridgment of E.B. Eliot's majestic work, grand work on the apocalypse, the most thorough work that has ever been done on the book of Revelation, the Hori Apocalypticae, condensed down into about 240 pages there, called The Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae 2015. And that would be our publication of it, because we've updated the end of it, because the Hori Apocalypticae was finished about 1865, and it's accurate up to the date that it's finished. Of course, things have happened since then that add to the Revelation prophecy, the continuing history being unveiled until Christ returns. So we kind of fill some of those things in. And then, and finally, we have the key to the apocalypse, which shows you how God has given divine interpretation of prophecy in Daniel and the Revelation as keys to understanding those prophecies and how to understand the prophecies where he does not give a direct interpretation. So we take the prophecies that God gives us an interpretation to, a direct interpretation, that's called a divine interpretation. Like if you read Daniel chapter 2, you have the prophecy given, and you have an interpretation of the prophecy given. That's a divine interpretation. We take those principles where God has given us a divine interpretation, and we apply those principles and that revelation to the prophecies where we're just given the prophecy but not the interpretation, and we find that God's Word has fully equipped us to understand His prophecy. I'm not saying I understand it all yet. There are some things I still have questions about, and I'm still looking for answers to, but I have a sufficient amount, more than most people, to understand most of the Revelation and most of the prophecies of Daniel quite sufficiently, because the information is there. So get the key to the apocalypse. All of these resources are available for the asking at the free ebook tab. You can ask for any of the resources that we publish and get a PDF or EPUB version of them so that you can peruse them for free. And of course, we offer low-cost paperback editions. If you go to the Get the Book page, you can scroll down, look at the few books we highlight there, and at the bottom you'll see a link for low-cost paperback pocketbook editions, and you hit that link and you'll see everything there that we have available. Okay, well, we're about at the end of this hour, and next hour we're gonna take a little deeper look at 2018 and what the Antichrist money powers have in store for us. You're listening to Cross the Border. May the Almighty bless you as you continue to walk in His kingdom day by day on the narrow way to life. Yes. that repentance road where we crucify the deeds of the flesh. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.